As I have been getting into the Word and meditating, the Holy Spirit has been showing me some things that He's given me a title of teaching unbelief. And they are passages of Scripture that have been used to teach us something opposite of who we are as now born again men and women of God. And so tonight we're going to take a look at one of those passages. And we're going to see how it has been used to teach us to live in the shadow rather than to teach us that we're the ones casting the shadow. Okay? Brother Don and Cindy, if you all will help me, have some notes. I didn't know where to put them in the back, so I didn't put them out. Take your Bibles, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 is a very familiar record, and we're going to read through it, and we're going to stop, and we're going to see some things. Now, the reason that the message is titled Teaching Unbelief, because we know, were there enough copies? Because we know faith comes by hearing. And where you don't have faith, you're not going to experience the benefits of God where you don't have faith. So faith comes by hearing, okay? And hearing comes by having the Word of God sown into your heart. Now, the Word of God has to be sown in your heart accurately. It just can't be sown any kind of way, and then you get the benefit. And so we're going to see this tonight, that we have been taught certain things about this passage of Scripture. And we're going to see how maybe what we have been taught may be truth in part, but it's not truth enough to help us build our faith. In Daniel chapter 10, and I'll get there with you. In Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was also called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So Daniel knew what was going to happen. He just didn't know when it was going to happen. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekiah, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upas. His body was also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, I'm not going to get into what people have said who this is. Some people believe it's an angel. Some believe it was Jesus Christ because of a similar description in Revelation. That's not my focus tonight, okay? I'm just going to read through this because there's things that the Lord pointed out to me. And I, Daniel, verse 7, along with the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. In other words, he fainted. Okay? He just keeled over. Okay? Yet heard I the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, we know that the kings of Persia, were not flesh and blood. They were devil spirits fighting against, because look who he's fighting against. The angel is fighting against the kings of Persia. Couldn't it be a man? Had to be a spirit. It was a spirit who had responsibility over this territory. Okay, so that's who he's talking about. Because otherwise, why would Michael get involved? I mean, this angel doesn't need Michael to take care of me. Okay, so it's not talking about someone of flesh and blood. And behold, okay, where was I? Okay, verse 14. Now I came to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, and one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved. Notice that's the second time we hear that, okay? O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things yet but Michael, your prince. Okay? Now, whenever you read Michael, your prince, it's referring to Michael having responsibility for Israel. Okay? Responsibility for Israel. Now, Let's look at how this passage has been taught. Let's look at the teaching. The teaching says that the battle between good and evil affects our getting answers to prayer. Okay? Because this angel, it took him 21 days from the time he began to pray and the time that God dispatched him to Daniel. Okay? So we have been taught that this angel, it took him 21 days to get God's answer to Daniel. Okay? We've also been taught we have to be diligent in our praying for the answer to come. So, like Daniel, we have to continue to pray day in and day out, day in and day out, okay, in order for the answer to come. We have to pray the angels through in order to receive answers to our prayers. How many of you have heard that? We have to pray the angels through in order to get answers to our prayers. That is how this passage of Scripture has been taught. Okay? Now, let's look at some key observations in this passage. Daniel lived before the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. That's the first observation to make. Daniel lived before Jesus was ever on the scene. Okay? Daniel was not born again. Okay, Daniel had a sin nature. Make some observations. God could not communicate with Daniel on a spiritual level. Why? He wasn't born again. He had a sin nature. God couldn't communicate with him on a spiritual level. Okay? Notice that the angel was sent to Daniel. Okay? Notice that the angel told Daniel about the things to come. Verses 12, 14, and 21. Now, how Daniel chapter 10 has been used to teach unbelief. Getting an answer to prayer is something beyond your control. I mean, if you're praying and you got angels in heaven fighting against demonic influences, then you have no control. You're just going to have to sit back and wait for the outcome. Okay? Angels may win, they may not. Okay? All we need to do is be persistent when we pray. Notice what we have to do, we have to be persistent in what we do when we pray. In other words, we are working. We work. We pray. We get on our knees and we pray. It doesn't say anything about having faith. It just said, you know, you're going to pray over and over and over until that answer comes. Okay? Daniel chapter 10 has been used to teach unbelief in this way also. Sometimes God's angels win and prayers get answered. Sometimes they lose and prayers don't get answered. If you use this record in Daniel as an example of how long it takes to get prayers answered, if you're praying, you don't get an answer to a prayer, what you're telling me is that based on this record in Daniel, the angels didn't win this battle because my prayers didn't get answered. Do you see it? Do you see that? We're saying that our prayers did not get answered because the angels didn't win. Okay? Because remember, this angel needed Michael's help to get through to bring the answer to Daniel. Okay? So when we're praying then, and the angel's trying to get through, and Michael's busy, then we don't get answered prayer. Okay? Now, if our prayers are not being answered, it's because we are not doing enough to help the angels get the answer to us. You see this? That is how this record has been used to teach us unbelief. Because everything we have just read, it has nothing to do so far with faith. It has everything to do with what we do, not who we believe, not who we have faith in. Okay? Now, let's look at some questions. Are the things described in Daniel chapter 10 true? Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Yeah, they're true. Okay? But see, look at the second question. Are the things described in Daniel chapter 10 true for the body of Christ? That's a totally different question. Okay, now, let's look at a couple of things, and let's see even more how this passage has been taught, has been used to teach us unbelief. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, remember we talked about Daniel. He lived before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not born again. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I want to point a couple of things out in this, okay? It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, in other words, we had the sin nature, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive with Christ. So when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he raised us from the dead at the same time. Even though we were born 2,000 years later, he raised us from the dead at the same time. That's what it's telling us. Okay? And not only has he raised us together with Jesus, he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when he raised Jesus 2,000 years ago, and Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father 2,000 years ago, where were we sitting 2,000 years ago? In the same place. Okay? The same place. Now, look at 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Okay? I am a son of God. You are sons and daughters of God. What was Daniel? He was a servant of God. He was not a son of God. Okay? You're going to catch up with me. I promise. You'll catch up with me. You'll see where I'm going. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We behold in a glass darkly. Okay? No, that's not. We are changed from image to image. Okay? And the image is Jesus Christ. So you see, right now, there's a difference between us and Daniel. Okay? Now, we all know, this is no secret, God worked with the folks in the Old Testament differently than he did with us. Okay? So that's the first clue. He works differently with us. Okay? Now, look, Matthew chapter 26. Let's talk about angels for a minute, too. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time, but I want to give you enough to whet your appetite so you'll take the notes, go back, and dig into it more yourself. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 51. This is when Jesus is in the garden, and they have come to take him away. Judas has betrayed him, okay? And then, so Jesus asks him, so friends, who are you come, friend, verse 50, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, took him. And behold, one of them, which was with Jesus, and we know from other passages that this was Simon Peter, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into the place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? A legion was 6,000 in the Roman army. So Jesus just said, listen, guys, I can get 72,000 angels if I needed them. But between you and me, I don't need them because I'm not asking for them. Okay? I can get 72,000 angels. Okay? Now, what did Jesus say? Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father that I can get 72,000 angels? To my Father. Daniel couldn't pray to God as his father. Okay? Daniel couldn't pray to God as his father. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. The more we read, the more it's going to become, you're going to start seeing what I saw. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Well, look at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Who are ministering spirits? God's angels. Okay? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? Minister for whom? For those who shall be heirs of salvation. Was it possible for Daniel to be an heir of salvation? No. Jesus had not been born. He had not died. He had not been resurrected. Okay? And notice, it says, they are sent to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know what that tells me? You know how we've always been taught all of us have guardian angels? Not according to this verse. Not according to this verse. If you don't get born again, you don't have an angel. Am I reading? Do you all see that? If you do not get born again, you don't have an angel. Okay? Daniel didn't have an angel. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 22. I gave you notes on purpose, like I always do, because I want you to get along with the Holy Spirit yourself and go back over this stuff, because he'll show you things that I didn't even think about probably, though he didn't have time to show me. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. It says, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Who is he talking about? Christ. Now, put your seatbelts on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to say something that could just pull you out real quick. You better put your seatbelts on. God sees absolutely no difference between you and Jesus. So when we read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, and it says that who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, what do we read in Ephesians? Who's on the right hand of God? We are. We were raised together with him. We were seated together with him. Okay? Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. They're subject unto us. You see that? Authorities and powers. Guess who? Yeah. Okay? Now, so we see then that unlike Daniel, Daniel did not have the ability to hear from God like we do. Number one, Daniel was not a son of God. He had righteousness laid to his account, but he was not a son of God. Okay? We are sons and daughters of God. God had to send the angel to Daniel. And see, if you read the record, Daniel didn't know the angel was coming. Daniel didn't even know he could even ask for an angel. Angels are ministering spirits for us. Many of them are sitting on the pew waiting for us to call them. Waiting. We have angels who are unemployed. They're waiting on us. They're unemployed. They're waiting for us to call them. Please, let me do something. Okay? Now, look at John chapter 14. Remember how it said in Daniel that the angel was sent to explain the vision to Daniel, to tell him what was going to happen. Look at John chapter 14. As sons and daughters of God, look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, Judas asked a question. Judas said to him, verse 22, not Iscariot, Lord, excuse me, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Notice the question. How are you going to manifest yourself to us, assuming that we're going to be part of the kingdom of God, and not unto the world, those who are not part of the kingdom of God? Okay? Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we shall come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? Teach. What did Daniel need from that angel? He knew what was going to happen, but he didn't know when it was going to happen. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring to remembrance all the things that I have whatsoever things I have said unto you. Okay? Look in chapter 16. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Why? Because they did not have a new nature. Okay? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Daniel needed to know when the vision was going to happen. We have the Holy Spirit who is going to guide us into all truth. Not an angel sent from God to tell us what we need to know. The Holy Spirit tells us what we need to know. Why does the Holy Spirit tell us what we need to know? We are sons. We are daughters. Why does God need to send an angel to tell us what we need to know when he can do it himself? Just the question. Okay? He can do it himself. Now, howbeit, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Isn't that what Daniel was seeking? He wants to know what was coming, okay? Are you seeing a difference between us and Daniel? Okay, now let me go back. Let me say this one more time. One of the first statements I said, one of the questions I asked is this record in Daniel true? Yes, it's true. It happened. But is it true for those of us who are now part of the family that sent out the angel? You see that? Our Father is the one who sent the angel. Now, I don't know about you, but if my Father sends something, then I can send something because it's my Father. You know, he creates the angels. He creates the angels. I'm his son. If I need an angel to do something, you're tired of not working? Come here. I got a job for you. You see my uncle over here? I've been praying for him. I need for you to move some things around so someone can get into his ear and get him born again. That's what your angels can do for you. Okay? Look at John chapter 11. Daniel prayed for 21 days. Okay? And the word of God calls him beloved. Okay? Because, see, Daniel did what Daniel knew that he should do. He did what he knew he should do. Okay? And God called him beloved. Again, he had a sin nature. Okay? So God had to work with Daniel just like he worked with the children of Israel. That's why you saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. The children of Israel need to know that God was with them. That's why he had to show them he was with them. That's why God had to send an angel to Daniel so he can know you're about to get your answer. God is in us. He's in us. We don't need anything outside for us to know that he is our Father, that he's going to do what he says that in his word that he's going to do. You see how we have been taught that to live in the shadow and not being part of the one who's casting that shadow? Okay? John chapter 11, verse 41. Jesus saith unto her, this is Lazarus' tomb. You know, Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha said, but he stinks. Jesus says, and? Okay? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Do I need to read that one again? He says, if thou wouldest believe, if you will have faith, you will see the glory of God. Okay? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, guys, I want you to read 42 like you've never read 42, verse 42 before. Okay? Let it get into your spirits. Jesus says, Father, verse 41, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. There was no doubt in his mind that when Jesus called up on his Father heard him. All the times that Jesus prayed for someone to be healed, there was no time period. It happened. Why did it happen? Because, see, Jesus' faith was at a place in his life that whatever he needed, it happened. It had nothing to do about what was going on in the spirit realm. Had nothing to do with what Satan wanted to do. Satan was a non-factor in Jesus' life. Every time he came upon Satan or one of his demons, next, you know, it's almost like Jesus, you know, he came upon one of the Satan demons and said, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? They didn't want a piece of him. That's They didn't want a piece of him. See, we need to get to a point in our lives that we say, you want a piece of me? Many of us are not there yet. I admit it. I cannot walk and say, do you want a piece of me yet? Because I know my faith is not there. You see that? But it has nothing to do with the war in heaven or whatever, where that war is taking place. It has everything to do with my faith. Okay? Look at John chapter 14, and we're going to get through these. But I wanted to show these to you because it's very important. John chapter 14, look at verse 13. Okay? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it eventually. When it rises up my to-do list, I will do it. You are next in line. That's when I will do it. You're number 37 in line. That's when I will do it. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, you ask me anything, I will do it. And you know what? We ask, and that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing that we ask. But see, what we're doing, we are asking for something that faith needs to be here, but our faith is here. That's the issue. The problem is here. The faith needed to solve that problem is here. This is what we need to work on. It's nothing wrong with that. At least you know you need to do some work. Think about all the folks who are out there praying over and over again and wondering why the prayer is not being answered. They don't know they got work to do. It's nothing wrong with that, folks. See, Jesus didn't have the issues that we had. You know, he wasn't born with a sin nature. He didn't have to unlearn a lot of junk that we had to unlearn. He had to get a lot of junk out of his brain, out of his mind like we do. That's why we have to renew our minds so that we can walk up to a devil and say, you want a piece of me? Okay? Now, 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our praying for angels to intervene. Our asking God to send angels to intervene. No, it's your faith. It's your faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay? Look at verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life. He that has not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, all of us believe on the name of the Son of God, right? But see, there's a difference between believing and experiencing. Believing is one part of it, but you got to know him. You got to know him. You got to know him. Okay? Can you imagine? Dar's and I have been married. We've been married 33 years this year. Can you imagine me being married to her for 33 years and not knowing her? I mean, I can hear her walk and know who that's her. As opposed to my son, my daughter. I know my wife. I need to know Jesus like I know Doris. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. No angels involved at all. Doesn't matter what Satan is doing at all. It's what we believe. Okay? John chapter 16. Are you seeing this record in Daniel differently a little bit? In John chapter 16, look at verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Why will you receive? That your joy may be full. Isn't that neat? God wants us to have joy. Jesus wants us to have joy. That's why he wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to have joy. I need to stop because I can hear Granny in my mind. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I got to stop. I can hear Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies. I got to stop. Okay. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not say unto you that I will pray unto the Father. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. Okay? Now, Father knows what you need. Now, we know the record in Matthew chapter 6. Okay? Now, let's look at Luke chapter 12. Because Luke chapter 12, Matthew chapter 6 are similar. In Luke chapter 12, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute, why am I skipping this? He gave this to me for a reason. So, in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them. What does that tell you? It tells you, you don't have to pray for the same thing over and over and over. Okay? I'm going to tell you what a person told me once upon a time. Very insightful. Nailed it for me. He says, you know, you pray for it one time, and then you praise him the rest of the time. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Yeah, thank you, Brother Jerry. Okay? Look at verse 32. You know this. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Luke chapter 12, last scripture reference. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Why? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it has nothing to do with demonic forces fighting to stop that. It has nothing to do with that. My daddy, my father, wants to give me the kingdom. Okay? Your father wants to give you the kingdom. So, can you see how Daniel chapter 10 has been teaching us unbelief? Because it's teaching us to be less than what we are. Okay? Key points. Daniel had a sin nature. You have the life and nature of God. As God's son, daughter, you have authority that Daniel did not have. You have authority Daniel did not have. All you have to do is ask. Answers to your prayers are waiting for you. They're already waiting for you. But see, you got to bridge this chasm between the problem and faith. This is the chasm to get to the answer. Okay? Problem. Okay, answer. This is where you are with your faith. This is the chasm that you have to cross to get your faith built up. That's why you keep putting the word on over and over and over. And then finally, an abundance of God's word increases your faith, produces answers. Okay? Faith is all it takes for us to get answers to prayers. We don't have to pray an angel over demonic forces because we already have authority over demonic forces. Why do we need angels to do our job for us? Okay? Why do we need angels to do our jobs for us? I hope this message has blessed you. I hope it's opened your eyes a little bit. And I hope it has gotten you to take a look at the record in Daniel a little bit differently. Because there are several passages like that. We've been taught unbelief in those passages. And I'm just blessed that God is just starting to show me some of these things. Everyone, please stand.